You're listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. Powered by Bathtub Guys Refinishing. We discuss the refinishing industry, interview owners and operators, and give tips to business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Daniel Montalvo.
All right, guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today, I have a guest. Go ahead and introduce yourself, brother.
How you doing, Daniel? Christian from Bath Art.
Yeah.
It's been in the making for a while, man.
Yeah, it's exciting, guys. I've been wanting to have Christian on for a little while. We've talked about it. Oh man, it's probably been about a year since we like met last. That one time went to the Cigar Lounge, and we talked about, you know, you coming on the podcast and what that would look like. And like finally the schedules aligned. It's the end of the year, you know, and it's been honestly awesome, you know, getting to talk to you, getting to know you a little bit better, but now getting you on here to talk some stuff, man. I really am interested in hearing, you know, a little bit more about your journey in the industry as a whole. You know, I know that you've been doing this. I know you have some other businesses and stuff like that. I got my notes here. Let me grab them real quick. Do you have any questions?
No, I'm good, man.
All right, cool. So, like, the first thing I always ask everybody, in all honesty, just because that's like I'm most curious about, is like what led you into like the bathtub refinishing industry?
Yeah, man. Great question. I mean, I've been in it since 2014, so it really makes me kind of reflect back. But believe it or not, when I was in the Navy, I was an AM, which was, it's a aircraft structural mechanic, basically working on the fuselage, but you're basically working with metal. You're manipulating the metal, you're painting it, primering it, top coating it. It's so similar to refinishing that it's insane. You know what I mean? I was in Miami. I got out of the military in 2005. I moved to Miami. You're from Miami, I think, originally, or your family is.
Yeah, my family. Okay. I had family that lived in Miami when they first came to the U.S. Yep.
Miami's rough, man.
It is.
Especially for the most, I believe, a man in his 20s is the most unvaluable thing on earth. And that's what I was at the time, man. I was a young man in Miami, and it's rough, man. It's tough. Sales. I tried sales. I'm naturally a salesman, but sales jobs and over there, it's a lot of full commission jobs. It's just, it's tough. But I came across an ad for refinishing. I reached out to the company. The guy who trained me, he ended up becoming a mentor, almost like a father figure to me, taught me a lot. I was able to really see the industry, you know, through him and kind of learn the back end and the business part of it. He ended up, just due to getting old, he ended up splitting up the company into three techs.
Do you remember the name of the company?
No, I don't recall the name.
Okay.
It'll come to me here.
Okay.
Here in
no
a
worries.
Second. Yeah, man, this was back in 2000. But nonetheless, either way, he ended up splitting the company up in between the techs he had. He had one in Miami, one out in Tampa. And I was kind of Fort Lauderdale, Miami area also. He had two techs in the Miami area. And that just didn't work out, man. Back then, it was Yellow Pages for advertising. And that's tough, man. It was really expensive, really, really, really hard stuff to get into.
I remember my dad telling me that, like, everyone used to name their company with an A because the phone books were alphabetized. So, like, you would have...
Got
like
it.
AAAA plumbing.
Yep.
Because the more A's, the higher you were. Mm-hmm. And then so like, because everyone would just look for the easiest thing to find was in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's like, so I think that's pretty funny. And then the numbers would go before. So that's why there's like a lot of like 5-star plumbing, 5-star cleaners. It's like,
got it. Because
the number thing in the yellow pages and the phone books, all that stuff.
It was so tough, man. It was ridiculously expensive. Running ads was $15,000. I mean, this is back then, so it was just so expensive. Again, I was in the military prior, so I got offered a job contracting in Kuwait. So I ended up moving to Kuwait, contracting. It was all tax free money. It was a good time. I was out there for almost 12 years.
Wow.
Yep. That's where I met my business partner, Elliot, which you met. And I came home 3-4 years before he did, started Bath Art. This was 2014. I already had the experience. Now I had some backing. You know, again, I was contracting in Kuwait, so I was able to come home with a little bit of cash, and I just invested all that in the Bath Art, and it took off from there. Yep.
I mean, that is an interesting journey. It definitely one of the more interesting ones that I've heard on the podcast. You know, everyone has like such a different walk. For me, it was a little different because my parents owned another company. We rebranded to Bathtub Guys when me and my brother took over. They were always like, they always had the domain name Bathtub Guys, but for whatever reason, they never used it. And I always thought that name was so good. When I took over the business, like, I kind of knew, I knew what we did. I didn't know how it was done. My brother had already learned refinishing and stuff because he dropped out of high school. And so he started working right away. So like, that's kind of how I came into this whole world is like, I was graduating and I was like, well, I can, you know, take over the family business and try to make it something bigger or go and get a job. I chose the other thing, you know, I chose like choice. trying to grow it because, you know, for me, it was part of it was like, I wanted to prove that something could be done in this industry. But the other thing is like for my family who like they really just ran it as like, you know, pays the bills. They didn't really try to blow it up. Part of it is, you know, they're being conservative because they have children and they're young and, you know, you can't take a lot of risk when you have young little kids. And so my parents are also a little older. So it's like those two things that they're weighing when they're making a decision. Thankfully, now they're retired. They both retired in Puerto Rico.
Got it. Good.
Yeah, man. But definitely, man, interesting, the walk of life, man, and coming from the military. How did your military experience, like, influence how you approach business? Like, I know, you know, the military is very systematic and stuff like that. And I assume that some of that translates over.
Of course, man. Yeah. And of course, right? Hindsight's 2020. And it's crazy how God kind of prepares you for everything in life. A lot of times you're going through something, you're like, man, why am I learning these skills? And then later on you figure out exactly why. So that's a good question, man. Attention to detail for sure plays a big part of it. I think that you're either naturally a businessman or you're not, man. I remember even in the military, once you kind of go up in rank, helping out with certain admin things or just kind of managing guys or certain things that just come naturally to me. You know, I remember having certain chiefs and petty officers in the military tell me, hey, man, you're really good at taking those calls or handling these certain kind of situations. So I think some of that's natural, but of course, the military definitely prepares you for business. A lot of guys that are in the military now, I urge them, look into it, man, because there's so many skills you do learn, you know, even just overcoming certain things, that mindset kind of sets you up to be successful.
Do you think that you'd be in like as good in business or as driven if you weren't, like if you hadn't gone to the military? Do you think that that really helped shape you?
Yeah. For sure. I would say it helped shape me. Now, everyone's different, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to have certain life experiences, and that's what shapes them. But without a doubt, man, I owe so much. Everything from my education, now my kids' education, and all of my health benefits from being in. But without a doubt, man, without the military, I wouldn't be who I am.
That, you know, like my father was in the military, and my grandfather, and, you know, like, a lot of the, like you say, the pride that they take in their work and how they, like, they really always wanted to do the right thing. You know, a lot of that stems from, like, how the military really, like, ingrains that in you of being exceptional, of like, caring about what you do and stuff like that. I think for a lot of people, it is definitely, like, especially people, I would say like people with like a troubled youth or like a shaky past, or you're coming from a rough city. A lot of the time that's the first real hit of discipline that you get.
Right.
And it sticks with you. You know, my father was born in Puerto Rico. He used to get into street fights and shit like crazy. And he was not like a bad kid or a bad youth, but he was growing up rough. You know what I mean? So like, I could imagine that like has like a big impact on your outlook and like, you know, your future and what is possible. Like once you kind of get out of your bubble, right?
Without a doubt, yeah. And then, I mean, I think we're real fortunate just because we've got a real good product, man. We really do in our industry. Mm-hmm. And when it's done correctly, I mean, it's just, it's a moneymaker, man. And I really believe in refinishing. Mm-hmm. I always have. I know me and you have sat down and had this conversation in the past, but I strongly, strongly believe, man, put the products aside, mm-hmm. put the epoxies and polyurethanes and the companies, all that aside. If a bathtub is done right, you know what I mean? If it's cleaned right, I would say acid, but I'm old school.
Yeah.
If it's done right, if it's cleaned right, prepared right, primered right, top coated right, they're going to last, man. They're going to last a long, long time. And that's a huge benefit for the hotels, a huge benefit for the homeowners. And it's a moneymaker, you know what I mean? But
it is. And people, like, I guess online, people have it, like, a little bit misconstrued about, like, me in particular. Everyone thinks that I hate spray just because I don't spray anymore.
Yeah.
And it's silly. I just say the reasons that I like what I'm doing now. Like, and that doesn't mean that what you're doing is worse or that it sucks. What it means is that there are certain things that I like about this application. But in general, like you said, when you put everything aside, when you do it by the book and you do it the right way, it is definitely a good process and a good system. The refinishing thing works. There's a reason that there's a whole industry. My biggest thing is, as you know, as I know, you hire people, you train people. It's hard to scale the amount of detail and the amount of like precision you need to do a good refinish job.
Oh yeah.
And so like that's part of the reason why I kind of like what we're doing now. But at the same time, it's not impossible. I mean, look, there's Miracle Method. There's a couple big players. Safe Steps, a big company that does a lot of commercial refinishing work. It's just, you know, it's a process.
Yeah.
And it's like any specialty trade, right? You need to know what you're doing to do it right. We sprayed stuff here. I mean, my dad started our company in 1993. We've sprayed coatings for over 30 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's pros and cons to everything. At the same time, though, I do believe in the industry. I think that more stuff like this should be happening, conversations and just getting to know people, and just seeing the industry grow, right? Because in a lot of other trades, I would say general contractors and plumbers and stuff, they talk to each other. They know each other. It's not like, oh, you do the same thing, so now we're enemies. It's like, hey, I got this big project and I need another guy like you to like jump in and help. And I tell this story, and I've told it to you. I mean, when I had that project that had 1,800 tubs and I kind of fucked up on it, like I wish that I would have known more people in the industry. That would have been an opportunity for our companies to work together. I was so jaded by like how I was treated when I did reach out to people. You know how it is, man. A lot of the companies, you know, you talk to people and everyone's kind of very protective about their stuff. And
bro, not to cut you off, but I think, you know, people might benefit from it, but to add on to that, I remember our very first home show, Elliot wasn't even back from Kuwait yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was me and Thomas. I don't know if you remember my manager, Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Big talk. He's actually my cousin. But we were at a trade show. Man, what was the name of that company? Which they're gone now. I'm a horrible with names and companies, but these guys were like the top company, you know? And the owner was there, and I went up to him to congratulate him, just to say, hey, man, you know, I've been watching you, and we kind of model our ways after you. And the guy was like, total dick, man. He was just like, you know what I mean? Shocked that I even came up to him, but almost like, you know, like, looked at me like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always remember that. I was like, man, I'll never be like that. You know what I mean? No matter how big we get, because you could benefit and learn from anyone.
100%. What a lot of people, like, a lot of people in this industry, I feel like they are very, very protective about the stuff that they do. And I feel like it's actually displays the opposite of what they think it does. Mm. Like, you know, I have a lot of confidence in what I do. And so I talk about what we do in our process. I know you do a lot of videos talking about, hey, this is what we do here at Bath Art and all that stuff, because you're confident in what you're saying. A lot of those people have almost no confidence. And so they prefer not to even speak to competitors or talk to anybody in the same market. And they feel threatened. So their first instinct is to just kind of like downplay your existence. It's kind of silly. But like you said, a lot of the times, this is the irony of it all, is that those are the first ones to kind of to just disappear.
Yeah.
Because they think that this very obscure thing or this product or this thing is the thing that makes them. And when it really comes down to it, in life in general, I would say business in general, it comes down to what you know and who you know. You'll miss a million opportunities from not knowing the right people or not knowing the right things.
One relationship could change
100%
everything. Yep.
Yeah. And so those are all things that I feel like I said, more people in this industry should kind of get with, but you know, it's a work in progress. The first thing that happens to me is that everyone just feels threatened by me because I put myself out there a lot. Mm. So it's silly, but I just, I'm like, guys, this like the rest of the world, every other industry in the world talks. We don't have to be weird,
right?
You know, but what would you say like is the biggest thing that sets you guys apart, Bath Art, and you know, you as an individual? I want to know like what does Christian Prescott like pride himself on the most, and tie it into Bath Art?
Yeah, that's good, man. We really care, man. And I'm not saying that just because it sounds good or it even sounds a little cheesy, but that's just the truth, man. We really care. We care about each customer. We care about the home. We treat the home like it's ours. I don't know, man, a real good tip, and this might help guys in other states or other cities and stuff like that. Trade schools, man, going to trade school, asking the trade school if you could set up a table during lunch, advertise your company, and try to find employees at these trade schools that are going to school for trades. Hey, they've already kind of got that mentality, and you could really groom those guys and find good employees there. But that's the key, finding guys that care the way you do, building some sort of culture. You know what I mean? I'm faith-based. I'm not perfect. I've been chasing my faith for maybe 5 years now, solid. So that's real important. But that's it, Daniel. I think we care, man. I think we care about getting the job done right, but we care about the customer, we care about the home, we care about our reputation. We've been here a long time, and it matters, you know what I mean?
I think that it's funny that that's what you say, because it's very similar to like what my answer is, because a lot of people, like when asked this question, right, the first instinct is to be like, well, we do this and we do that and we do, but when you actually know what it actually is, it's like going back to the basics. It starts with the moment you talk to a customer, you care. The moment you go into their home, you're caring for their stuff. And that's how you promote longevity. And I mean, any business relationship, any relationship in general, is to actually care.
Yeah.
When I talk to guys, I get a lot of questions from refinishers from all over the freaking country. But they ask me like, how do you have such a big company? It's like, well, because I give a shit. Like, and I don't like to get into details of like what that means. But like, for example, you open up their Instagram page and their last post was from 2018. That's not giving a shit.
That's good.
Like, if you have 3 reviews online and 2 of them are 5-star and 1 of them is 1-star, and you as a business owner have jobs every day and you're not pushing to up your rating, do you care? You tell me.
Yeah, that's good.
You know how it is in business. If you get a 1-star, what are you doing? every customer that's happy, you're like, please write me a review.
No, what I mean, it's an opportunity too, man. I really you can't please everyone. Like I said, we've been in Orlando since 2014. And not every review is going to be that five-star review. They're just not. You can't please everyone. But if you know you tried, bro, and you know that your intentions were to deliver the best product, accidents are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen. You're going to have certain customers that they're waiting for that mistake.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're waiting for it, and they're going to go ahead and bash you either way. Use that as an opportunity, man. Use that as an opportunity to what? To inform the customer, hey, yeah, we have a warranty, but it's not an insurance for your bathtub.
100%.
You know what I mean? There's guidelines and there's things, and we honor our warranty, but there's deadlines and there's situations. And there's times when you just got to eat it and just pay the customer. Pay, you know what I mean? Or redo it and avoid that review. But sometimes you're going to get the bad review, but use it as an opportunity to inform the customer, educate the customer.
The main point is not for it to never happen. It's to try and have it not happen as much as possible, right? Try to avoid it as much as possible by having good systems and processes to avoid, you know, pissing people off. And like, again, that just goes into the basics of caring about your business. Like if you don't have a system in place for customers who are pissed off, you're going to get more customers who are pissed off. If you don't think about, hey, could this thing potentially rub a customer the wrong way and you're not actively bettering it, you're going to run into issues. But again, it's like what your answer was, though. It's like what makes you different is the same thing that makes a lot of companies different. The core of it is you, the individual, right? And caring enough to make sure your business is doing good. You have a couple businesses going on right now. I know you do the car rental stuff, now the wrap stuff. Is there any others?
No, those are our main three. We've got the bathtub refinishing company. Yep. We've got the car rental company, which is Prescott Auto Boutique. And then now we've got Wrap Royale, which they all kind of play in together in some form. We're really, and I know we're going to touch on this a little later, but with the wraps, man, there's such a potential for walls. For graphics. We actually, we work pretty closely with the Universal Hotels here in Orlando.
Yep.
They've got a couple movie premieres that I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say or not. Not that, you know what I mean? But so there's some graphics that we introduced to them, and they're reviewing real closely for this coming year, 2026. So yeah, there's potential, man, for graphics on walls, but cabinets, surfaces where you could use the vinyl wrap to cover these surfaces.
I don't know if you're doing it already, but I will say I got reached out to one time, and it's out of my realm of expertise, by the Legoland Hotel.
Okay.
Because they use the vinyl wraps on their walls to recreate like that Lego.
But let's work together on it, bro.
Yeah, man. I'll forward you their info because they reached out to me about it one time. But that could be a good opportunity. So let's talk a little bit about, I guess, what is the biggest challenge that you faced when you started a business, and a lesson that you learned from, you know, those struggles?
Biggest challenge is growth, man. I think that's the biggest challenge for a lot of companies, growing the right way. We were real fortunate, which I'm sure you were as well. Here in Orlando, we've got such a potential with commercial. I mean, we're in Orlando, so there's hotels galore. We kind of came across that real early. So we literally, our first year, made 800K, you know what I mean? Which is great for any company just starting out. With that comes a lot of pain, you know what I mean? So finding the right people to fill certain spots, especially in sales and then QA with managers and things like that. But I think growing the right way, trying not to grow too quickly, or, you know, trying to stay humble in that sense has been, you know, the biggest struggle for us. And of course, personnel, especially in the office, finding the right admin people, you know, working with the customer and all the post stuff that goes into it, trying to grow that, the clientele as well, as far as reviews and things like that go. But yeah, man, just growth and managing that growth the right way so it doesn't doesn't get out of control.
It is definitely, it's a task, and people, you know, it's like that old saying, bro, more money, more problems, bro. Mm. When you start, like, you open yourself up more to so much more scrutiny, and you're being judged, and you're introducing people who you honestly don't know. You have to learn about, you have to learn how to pick up on social cues and stuff like that, because you're going to be tried in business. Like I try to tell people like this, it's like one of the most important things that I've learned in business is being able to just read people like early. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good.
And that's like one of the biggest lessons I learned from that struggle, because again, it's a parallel to me in this industry. I feel like a lot of people are going to feel that way. Mm. The growth is the hardest part. Mm. So like how do you suppress some of that struggle? It's like, well, you got to pick up on the BS meter early. Mm. You know, there's people, and I don't want this to come off a certain way, but when someone comes to me and they're like, I need this job. I have 3 kids at home and 3 pet cats and 2 dogs, and I haven't been able to. I'm just like, right there, I'm like, you're not getting hired. Like, those people are the ones who they're starting the business relationship with you, trying to emotionally manipulate. Mm. And so those are going to be the people who they show up for a week, and then on the second week, they're like, I got to take my kid to soccer practice. Remember, I told you I had 3 kids. Yeah. And then now they're missing here and they're missing there, and then stuff goes missing in the trucks, and then they're like, oh well, and then eventually you just end up letting them go anyway. Yeah. That's an example, right? But other things, right? Like you start picking up on, you know, like just how human behavior is, and I feel like that has been an invaluable lesson, because I am so much better at hiring now than I was in the beginning. Mm. In the beginning, it was like, do you have a pulse?
Yeah, right.
And nowadays it's a lot more, I would say a lot more like dialed in, because I've learned those lessons. I mean, I told you and you said that they applied at Bathor, right? I had a couple crazy people who I hired just because they had experience. Yep. And they end up like pulling out a freaking gun on us. It's like the craziest thing. And you wouldn't think that. But those are people that nowadays, if I get hit with anyone who kind of rubs me the wrong way, like my red flag is up, and I'm not bringing them near my this thing feeds my family. Mm. I'm not bringing them near this. Yeah. You know what I mean? And one thing that me and you have talked about, and we talked about it, you know, the other day when I went to your guys' new shop over there, is that sometimes it is okay to keep a smaller team and grow exponentially than to try to blow it up overnight. You know right. what I mean? Sometimes you could truthfully get more done yeah. with 4 or 5 really good guys than have 9 or 10 just draining your money.
Yeah.
That's something that I've learned. You know, at our height, we had like 13 technicians here. Yeah. And it was like, you know, when you're in those limbos sometimes where like you have a lot going on, and then there might be one day where there's not, and you try to like keep the guys busy by doing a shop day or whatever. Mm. Like the day that I decided I'm not doing any of that BS anymore is that one day I gave these guys a shop day and they complained.
Wow.
And I was like, do you guys not understand that I'm doing this because I want to have an excuse to pay you?
Mm-hmm.
After that, I cleaned house. I literally fired everyone except for one guy.
Good.
And I've done that like 5 times. Wow. I've cleaned house like 5 times.
Smart, man.
But yeah, man, those businesses,
that's going to sound harsh. You know what I mean? That's going to sound harsh to especially if you're just starting in business. But yeah. There's so much wisdom there, Daniel.
Yeah.
There's so much wisdom there. Yeah, man. And you really got to evaluate the situation.
Yeah.
Not all money's good money, yep, right? Not true. All contracts are for you right off the bat.
Yep.
If it's too good to be true, it typically is.
Yep.
Right. Learning when to accept the deposit. Now we always accept them. That's something I kind of learned from you.
Yep.
I was really stuck on doing the job right. If it's done right, then we'll get paid. But there's lessons
there too, man. That's not always the world we live in, man. You know, like, unfortunately, it has become more and more prevalent of people finding an excuse not to pay you.
Right.
And if you tackle that objection before it even comes up, if they pay you for your time
good.
To get out there, then they are way more likely to be a happy customer.
How do you set that up? How does that look like? I'm a customer.
Yeah.
Right?
So when you call or text us, we send you a quote in writing. Right there is the option to place a deposit. And then right after that, you know, we'll be prompted to schedule the appointment. It's very easy, very streamlined. And we do it like that because I don't want, number one, a no-show, right? It costs us money to send a technician. If I send a technician to your home and you're not there, that technician gets paid with or without you. And I am not going to donate to my technician for free. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do that. Number one. And number two, in reality, it helps us better serve the customer, right? Because in this Wild West situation, as cruel as it sounds, again, if somebody said, hey, I have a $1,000 job today, there's no deposit, no strings attached, and someone else calls you and is like, I have a $3,000 job today, and there's nothing tying you to that job, I mean, I'm going to go with the more expensive job. At the end of the day, we could all talk about what's morally right and wrong or whatever, but at the end of the day, what holds people to obligations is having some skin in the game, right? And if they're invested monetarily, they are more likely to honor the commitment. And it goes both ways. If I already allocated a tech to you, there's a deposit paid for and all that, it's unless shit hits the fan, the appointment is going to happen.
It's good.
And it makes us a lot more secure, right? if the job's already set up for the day, you know that Kelly already placed her deposit. She's a good customer. Why would I risk this other thing based off of just a handshake? You know what I mean? Good. Business isn't run on handshakes. It's run on transactions. You know, it's just the truth. I deposit on everything. I wouldn't breathe any. You know, good. Even service calls. Like, if I'm going to charge someone a $200 fee, you're going to pay 25% right now. Like, I don't care, because that's just a reality. I have a hotel that reached out to us this morning. Hey guys, we really want to do 33 tubs before the end of the year. Cool. I need a deposit. Yeah. Oh, well, we want it scheduled on the 15th. That's not enough time. You guys have credit cards. I need a deposit.
Yeah.
They're like, send me the link. Yeah. When they actually want to do stuff, they do. Mm-hmm. They play that game. But yeah, and I asked for 50% because this place takes forever to pay. That's another thing. When they start getting, you know, slippery on the payments, now next time it's more.
Yeah.
You know, I'll normally charge 25%, but if you're going to take forever to pay me, now it's 50. You know what I mean? That's what the commercial clients. Because again, we're not a bank. We're giving these people free credit, basically. You know what I mean? When they're taking 80 days to pay you,
Your tick's got to get paid on Friday. And
yeah, that's a zero interest credit loan right there, man.
It is.
So we're talking about, you know, some stuff here. I know we talked about, you know, hiring, firing and stuff, but, you know, we both recently, I would say in the last couple of years, had some falling outs with business partners. I want to talk a little bit about that. How was the experience, you know, with falling out with your partner? And I would say, because for me, this happened. If it didn't happen with you, that's fine. But what would you say is like something that you, I guess, maybe picked up on after the fact, that after the falling out happened, you were like, wow, well, you know, this kind of was evident from the beginning.
Yeah.
If there's something like that that exists there.
Yeah. With me, man, my business partner was, more of like a brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, I let those boundaries get crossed, unfortunately. This was a lesson that I had to go through. Mm-hmm. I had everyone, it didn't matter who it was that I worked with, at some point, and there's no, you know, sense in naming names or anything like that, but there was always someone that said, hey, your partner's the reason you're not breaking $1 million, or, you know what I mean, your partner's the reason this isn't happening, or this isn't being taken care of, and I always just, nah, man, it's not that, you know what I mean? And unfortunately for me, I was his boss in Kuwait. I was always his superior. I was always kind of looking out for him. He came home, there was an apartment waiting for him. I had a vehicle waiting for him. You know what I mean? Like, I always took care of him, almost like I would a son. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that was, I'm not saying that's a mistake, man, but business is business, and there has to be a, you know, a division there.
Yeah.
There's got to be boundaries and clear lines and things like that, man. So I definitely learned a lot, but I guess one thing I do know about that situation is accountability, man. You know, I take accountability on my end. Communication's got to be clear and everything when you're a business partner. Books have got to be open. And these are things that were always set and I was always real transparent about. Mm-hmm. But if I had to do it all over again, I would really make sure that communication's so clear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have those difficult conversations from the beginning, because you're right. Now, looking back, I'm like, man, there was so many little signs.
Yeah.
Even in the care of the work, man, there were certain times I was pulling them aside like, hey, man, how did you miss this? Or this isn't acceptable. And little things that he was on board with in the beginning, he just started dropping off and like making excuses for, or even defending things like runs or like, you know what I mean? Things that could be avoidable on the job. He was kind of defending those. And those were all signs I should have picked up on. But my partner ended up packing up and leaving, man, taking money from the company, you know,
wow,
a significant amount.
You guys were partners on paper too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep, yep. Now, he ended up getting himself into debt in the company. So before he left, maybe 2 years before we completely ended the whole relationship, he wasn't a business partner anymore on paper. He was mainly just an employee, but he worked himself into that, if that makes any sense.
I gotcha. You know, it's funny, again, like the parallels are not lost on me. I think it's actually crazy how you worded it so right. More so than anything, when I had my falling out with my business partner, again, like, we were really close. You know, we were vacationing together, hanging out.
Oh, yeah. Brothers, man.
Exactly, man. We were inseparable. And one of the things that I feel like...
And with that, bro, I'll say his name. His name's... I love Elliot, man. I really do. Like, I wish him nothing but the best, man. The same success I wish for myself, I wish for him. I still feel that way, man. Regardless of the, he's trying to pay the money back.
Yep.
It's extremely slow. It's in little increments, but hey, I kind of see where his heart's coming from. And at the end of the day, it was a lesson for him, lesson for me. And it just, there was certain places our company was going, he couldn't go.
Yeah.
And that's just, that was evident from a long time ago. And I just let it keep rocking, but sorry about that.
But it's 100% kind of where I was at. You know, me and my partner were really close. We were like brothers. We'd hang out, you know, we were vacationing together. We're doing everything together. And I was seeing him every day. And so like, but our dynamic was a little different in that in the beginning, the way I met him was actually on this podcast.
Mm.
He was one of the first guests I had in person. And at that time I had like three technicians and none of them wanted to travel. And I had this project come up in Puerto Rico. I was like, I need people for this fucking thing. And I was like, hey, dude, do you want to come? And he had his own company. So he brought people. So our relationship was a little different because it was always like we were peers the entire time. There was never that like hierarchy kind of a thing.
Established.
Until there was a point where he wanted me to have a Bathtub Guys location in Tampa. And that he would run it and all this stuff. And we agreed on it. I'd get 10% of gross. And I'd throw in some ad dollars to get it started. And we'd get it started. And that happened. But again, and I can't really blame him, but it's kind of like what you said. It's like we say things, but then it's hard to enforce it when it's your friend. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's hard to... I could put the hammer down on any of these guys, but when it's someone that's like, it's like a brother to me, it's like, it's really freaking hard to like, be like, love hey dude, man, where's the money? Cause they're going to hit you with a, you know, my kid and you know their kid or my wife and you know their wife or my parents and you know their freaking parents. And it's like, now it's a whole different dynamic. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like what happened with us. It's very similar is that like, I started, like things started to not happen that were promised on his end. And I just, instead of enforcing it like I should have, I just kind of kept letting it slide. And then the thing is, on top of that, I also kind of rewarded the bad behavior. And so he never actually felt like he was doing anything wrong. Granted, I was enabling it. So I can't really be mad at him. You know what I mean? And so effectively what happened is, you know, we were growing the company, you know, expanding to other locations, and it was getting too expensive to pay him because Tampa was underperforming. Orlando was funding Tampa's entire existence, and he was getting paid a salary. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like projecting the numbers, and I was like, if this keeps on happening, like in 6 months, like I will have no money.
Wow.
So I was like, I'm sorry. I fired him. I had to literally be like, I'm sorry. I can't keep you. You're done, bro. And,
wow. That's tough.
He said he didn't take it personal, but definitely did. He said that he felt like he was backstabbed and the whole nine. And part of me in the beginning was upset because I'm like, how could you not see all the stuff you didn't do that we were supposed to, that we talked about? But again, if the whole way along the way, it was cool. And then suddenly it's not, I can't, you know, once the toothpaste left the tube, you can't put it back. You know, you have to start like that. You have to start with the control. Hey bro, 10%. We said 10%. Are we doing it or not?
Mm.
We just started. If it's not happening, then we don't continue. And then at that point, no one gets their feelings hurt. But I let it go on too long. The conversations became hard to have, so I didn't have them. And then it was just, there was a pivotal point where it was like, am I going to risk everything for this individual who, you know, I really care for and I wish nothing but the best for, but my family, and I just had a kid, and I had to make a decision. And ultimately, I made what I say is the right decision for both of us right now.
Of course you did.
You know, he's a good guy. Still love him. Still wish him the best. Like, same with you. But, you know, one of the things for me that I feel like... I will say one thing that bothers me about the entire thing. While I do understand it, I could get it. But isn't it crazy how fast someone who was that close to you just like cuts off with no communication? It's like with
hurtful,
me,
man. It hurts, bro. And imagine when money's involved.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It hurts.
What is your first instinct? My first instinct is, oh, well, now that the checks dried up, so did the friendship, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because like if he was under a bridge, I'd help him. You know what I mean? But like, you know, what does it feel like if he only reaches out when there's something to gain? You know, there was a very interesting situation that happened not too long ago when my friend Danny Garcia was here. We were talking about before this, and my friend Ruben were here, and you know, we used to all hang out. Me, you know, my partner, them, and when he was in town, he was like, "Hey, man, I want to see him. Like, let's call him up and invite him." And I was like, "Yeah, that's fine."
Mm.
And we had already had our falling out or whatever.
Oh wow!
And his response was, "Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. That's a waste of time." And I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, "Now it's a waste of time."
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were just hanging out. We were friends. We were boys. Everything was cool. Now it's a waste of time. What changed? Well, the only thing that changed is, there's no money. There's nothing in it for him on that front. So, again, while I do wish him the best, and I'm not saying that this is...
And unfortunately for him, he's not seeing the value in the connections and
the
relationships.
I mean, you never know where life is going to take you. Maybe one day there is an opportunity for us to work better together in the future, learning what we learn now. But at the same time, like, it doesn't do anything for my mental clarity and... closure to be like, well, you know, I don't even want to like sniff that way anymore. Why? Because one thing didn't go your way, I guess. But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. All I'm saying is, if it was really a friendship, in my opinion, with my situation, then we would be cool before the money, after the money, regardless of what it is. I've had falling outs with people. I've hired friends and it's not worked out and they've been bitter about it for a week and then they get over it. You know what I mean? But I feel like because we met in business, you know, that maybe to some degree that might have been what it was about. And it is what it is. Again, I have no ill will towards them, but that is the reality in some situations. You know, there's a lot of parallels in a lot of the stuff we're talking about today, but I would say in my situation, it is some sort of combination of that. You know what I mean? So, very interesting that we both had that happen in like the same amount of time. And it's funny because you met him at that lounge one day when we went to Corona.
That's right. I mean, it's all part of. We have to go through those experiences, yeah. Man. And it's especially
the journey, man.
Yeah, getting to the next level, we're going to have to know. And again, now I've had partnerships and I'm in a partnership right now as far as the building goes for Rap Royale. But, it's done through a friend also, but it's all contracts and we're having tough conversations immediately.
Because you learned.
Yep. Anything we don't understand, spoken about, books are open. And again, man, it's communication's everything, bro. Having those tough, tough conversations I'm learning is key. Even with my kids, man. Sitting down, sharing with them my past, letting them know my mistakes, my faults. And again, having those tough conversations quickly, mm-hmm. sooner than later is key, man.
So I have a question for you, and I think this would be an interesting one, just being based off the dynamic that we have right now. Two companies, same industry, and same service area. Like,
I'm freezing, by the way, again, Daniel. So if I'm out here shaking, man, it's.
I'm sorry, man.
It's all good.
It's gonna get hot again in like 10 yep. minutes. How does healthy competition benefit the industry, in your opinion?
Man, in so many ways, bro. Again, these are things I've picked up from mentors online and people that I admire that have led me to do what we've done, met at cigar lounges or, you know what I mean, have tried to network together. It's important, man, and that healthy competition is good. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. I'm past the whole looking into other companies and checking their prices, and I'm kind of focused on what we're doing yep. more. But being involved and knowing what's coming out and trying to be in communication with everyone around is important, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, you know, a lot of people, and that was everyone's first instinct, right? Is like, well, what do I want to know about the competitors? I want to know what they're charging. I want to know this, that. Yeah, that's all cool. But how about getting to know a competitor, someone that's in the same area? And it's for the reasons we touched on in the beginning, where it's like, there might be an opportunity for collaboration. In all honesty,
we came up with an idea for the raps. Just 100%.
Yeah. And it's like, you never know unless you start getting to know people in your industry. At the end of the day, there's a reason Bath Art's been around. There's a reason that our company's been around. And then there are few companies that have been around. You know, we all do a good job. There's differences and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I know that you being in business as long as you've been, that you're doing a good job. So if there's an opportunity, like I said, for collaboration, why go and try to piece it together like I have had to do in the past, where I'm kind of like trying to train people on the fly when I could be like, hey, man, you want a piece of this? Come in. Let's mm-hmm. make good on the contract and work together on this. I mean, GCs do it all the time. When you go to a big renovation, there's 5 GCs there. Why? Because it's a big enough project to justify it.
Nailed it.
You know what I mean? Like, and so that's more the type of time I'm on, collaboration, getting to know people, doing stuff like this, where I feel like is community driven, it helps. Kind of bridge the gap that a lot of people have, a lot of the fears people have of getting to know people in their industry, and specifically in this one, where again, not to, you know, bring it full circle, but a lot of people are very protective about what they have. And at the end of the day, it really is just you. That's like the main differentiator, I think. It's like the individual. Does the individual care enough? Is he going to take it serious? What's his morality like?
It's good.
And that from there is like, you know, if they're going to sink or swim, realistically. Let me see another question. So how do you balance business and personal life? You know, being that you now have three businesses, and I know you have kids, and married. So how does that work? 'Cause, by the way, I am actually genuinely curious. I wrote this one specifically because I just had a kid, 3 months old.
Good.
And, you know, I'm married, and it's starting to kind of collide a little bit. So touch good, on that, man. If you can.
Congrats, man, on that, first off. Balance, bro. You know, God is a God of order. The same way you're mentioning in business, that order you got to have. I write everything down, man. That's biblical, too. If you write it down, it gets done. But I split my day into two. Like, this is made to be one page per day, but I split it into two. And I call it my top five. I got my top five business and my top five personal. Those got to get done. And I call it winning the day. I get that from Andy Frisella. He's, you know, business podcast. But yeah, man, I don't quit till those five business are done and those five personal are done. And then I won the day and I'm done for the day. Does that happen every single day? There's days I fumble that. I might drop one or two, but I pick it up the next day. For the most part, my goal is to win the day. And it could be three. Mm-hmm. Start with three tasks a day that are business and personal. And then that's what's been able to work for me, man. And it keeps me balanced. And that way I'm able to get done at least five things that are going to push your business. Don't give it five, you know, mop the floors. Yeah. No, you know what I mean? Five things that are going to build your business and five things that are going to build you. You know, for me, building personally is reading 10 pages a day, some sort of podcast. I'll listen to you. I'll listen to, you know, something, at least an hour of a good podcast a day, self-improvement wise. I don't work out. I was showing you pictures before we hopped on. I went from 210 pounds to 130 pounds. That's not what I weigh now, but, you know, I used to be real big into heavy working out, not so much now, but I still have a routine in the morning. I cold plunge. I do 100 push-ups a day. Mm-hmm. And that's simple, man. I do them in sets of 20s. By the time I go to bed, I got 100 push-ups in. So just little things like that, man, that keep balance on both ends.
I do think that, you know, what you said there, you know, the thing I would say, I feel like with men especially, something that I've learned, and I've learned it recently, like having a routine and sticking to it is really how you maximize, you know, your time in the day. It's really helped me, you know, for those people who don't know, I don't know if you know, but like, I weighed like damn near 400 pounds at one point.
Wow.
I was up like 398. It was really crazy.
Yeah, you have to show me some. It's nuts. Yeah. Man. I can't
and
even imagine.
I'm down to like 295 now.
Congrats, bro.
Thank you. You know,
hold on. What's been, you can't just skim past that. What's been the main thing?
Well, I'll talk about it a little bit. Diet. So what happened is I got into a car accident in like 2018. Where I pretty much couldn't walk for like 3 months.
Wow.
And it's funny. I started the podcast around that time because I couldn't do anything.
Wow.
But I was just eating and being inactive and then like doing everything like sitting down. And so like I went from like 240 pounds to like I just went huge from not being able to move. Then when I started being able to walk and like move and stuff again. I was so ingrained in those habits, especially the eating habits of like overeating.
Of course.
That it was, even though I was a little bit more active, it wasn't helping any, you know. Yeah. I was eating like a freaking maniac. So like slowly I started losing weight just because initially what started happening was, I just got so involved in the business stuff that I would just like naturally just skip a meal, whatever, because I was so busy. But recently, I would say like the last 60 pounds I've lost has been because I started going to the gym every day. My cousin has a gym in his house.
Oh, good.
And my brother goes over there, a couple of their friends. And that alone has done so much for me mentally. And it just, it's, there's something to be said about, it doesn't even matter if you're tired. You go, you work out, and you feel with more energy. It's like the opposite of what you think is going to happen.
There's something there with movement, bro. Yeah. I can't explain it. It's so good, Daniel. Yeah.
It's wild to me, because I was always like, oh, you know, like I always feel tired, and then I'm going to go over there, I'm going to feel even more tired. It's not true. It's like I work out, and I feel with more energy after.
Nailed it.
And so, and then also, I mean, I was like sleep deprived and all this stuff. When I do finally decide to go to sleep, I actually sleep well. You know, I have more endurance. I can, you know, it like before, and I was telling you this before we started recording, like it was hard for me to get up early. I mean, I'd still rather not get up early, but now if I do, I don't feel like I'm going to die.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't get like a lot of those things that used to affect me just don't as much. And I think, again, for a man especially, having routine, trying to work some exercise into that is definitely something that's helped me. You know, and I'm losing weight. I was actually, I was telling my wife this the other day. I was a type 2 diabetic for like the last year and a half.
And you've reversed that
recently. Actually, wow, I just got the news on Tuesday that I'm no longer diabetic.
Bro, that's huge.
It's
you're talking to someone who's hooked up to an insulin pump, but yeah. I don't have a pancreas, which we touched on. Yeah. That's amazing, bro. God bless you, bro.
Thank you. That's huge.
And
you know, I'm young, I'm 27. Wow, I just had a kid, and like I'm like it's crazy.
That's crazy.
But that's happened because I'm sticking to a daily routine, and I'm watching what I eat.
You could get rid of that for life, bro. Exactly. You could do it with diet. That's huge,
with
bro.
Diet and exercise, because for the diet most part, when you're younger and you get type 2 diabetes, it's usually because you're eating like shit,
and
not working out. You know what I mean? Not keeping, you know, maintaining.
That's wisdom, bro. That's accountability too,
100%.
Bro. Yeah.
And so I'm not gonna blame it all on that. I was still already over what I should have been, but between all those things that happen, all the factors that happen around that time, I just
We're Latinos and eat.
I let it go.
I broke on Michuela every day. Yeah, exactly. Of course.
I let it get out of hand. And
besides
so
all that.
But now, man, it's awesome. And I, obviously, I still have to watch, you know, myself. I still have to have a glucose monitor, all that shit, because it's obviously I'm not technically type 2 diabetic, right? They checked my A1C and all that stuff, and it was like, okay.
What are your A1Cs?
4.7 now. Wow. It was when
that's
I
that's normal, bro.
When I
that's,
went to the first time, it was 11.8.
Yeah, bro. I've been as high as 13, man. That's crazy.
But we turned it around, and like,
wow,
she's
hallelujah, man.
The doctors pretty much like stick to it,
and they're probably shocked that someone your age could have that discipline. Bro.
She was very, very hyped for me. I mean, also
I'm hyped for you, bro. That's huge, man.
Not having to take as much medication and stuff too. Like, I still have to take some just
metformin.
Okay. Well, I'm actually taking Ozempic, but not for the weight loss. It's for the blood sugar control.
No, yeah.
Because what it does is it avoids the spikes.
Yep.
But with that, she says that if I keep on this pace, I will not even have to take that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you drop 50 more pounds and just keep your lifestyle normal, you'll be fine. So that's the goal.
Wow,
but yeah, man, I think that's helped me kind of get more balance. But what you said is 100%, man, being organized, keeping everything together, making sure that you have your goals for the day, that you hit them. And, just making sure. I feel like one of the things that I'm learning now, especially, you know, I'm a new dad, 3 months old, but making sure you're there for those moments as much as possible, man. Yeah. Especially when they're little.
Yep.
I'm already seeing it, you know, from newborn to this moment. It's like how much they've changed. And I could only imagine, you know, what you've seen from your kids, right? From birth to talking to going to school. It's like, It must be crazy. And I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm thankful that, you know, in my scenario and in your scenario, that, you know, we chose the path that we did so we could be there for a lot of the moments that other people can't, you know, instead of having to do the work, being the one to facilitate the work, gives us a little bit more flexibility. And while we do work a lot, our hours are different, right? We put in the work in the front end, in the back end. the production part is handled by the labor guys, but you know, we have a little bit of flexibility there. Yep. And so we don't have to miss out on those big moments. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Are you good on time?
I am okay.
Okay. Yep. I just have a couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up, man. So what are your goals for the next 5 years? Be it personal or business goals. What are the main things you want to do, you know, coming up? What's next for you?
Yeah, man, it's good. Business-wise, Bath Art, I want to incorporate more of the wraps as far as for, cabinetry, countertops, walls, more commercially. We've been getting into government contracting the last past 2 years. And guys, this is the quickest way to become a millionaire in this age is government contracts. So if you're not already doing so, start building your business up to go towards that. I've shared that with you in the past a little bit. So government contracts, the wraps, of course, building Wrap Royale, Prescott Auto Boutiques up to 43 cars.
Wow.
Yeah. We're kind of skimming out the economical cars and focusing more on luxury, like anything, right?
Just
the better customer. It's a different clientele. And I like those cars. So it is what it is. I pulled up in the Cybertruck today. They're just fun, man. They're cool cars. But personal-wise, man, I'm part of a 12-week program at my church called Freedom.
Yep.
It's unbelievable, man. I'm actually moving into a new position this semester. I was training as a co-main leader.
Mm-hmm.
I was training for that position, coach, this last semester, and I'll fill that position moving forward. So we start back up in February. So just mentally preparing for that. And Freedom's been a big part of me and my wife's ministry. So just focusing on Freedom and building the businesses, man.
Well, that sounds awesome, man. I mean, look, man, that car rental stuff is very, very cool. I definitely think you're on the right path with the leaning more towards luxury.
Right.
My mother-in-law actually does like Turo car rentals and stuff.
You were telling
me,
yeah.
They do a lot of vans and stuff, and they get less than desirable clientele. You know what I mean?
Oh, bro, I've got Corvettes that are shot up, and we've had vehicles stolen. It's an ugly, ugly game, bro.
Yeah, man. But on the other hand, though, you know, I do feel like for the most part, it's definitely worth it. You get to charge a premium, and so you could put up with the headaches a little bit better.
You got to learn it, like anything else. It's business,
and that's kind of the philosophy I've adopted with our company. It's like I'm trying to target the higher end client because I feel like it's easier to better serve them if they're paying more money. You know what I mean? It's a lot. It's different when you have to go back to a customer's home on a $400, $500 job. It's like kind of a pain in the ass, but like if they're paying $800, it's like, okay, I'll go back.
I want to applaud you, man, because at 27, your mentality and the people you've been positioning yourself with, man, and I know maybe you fully don't know it, but I know it and I see it, where you're going to be at when you're 43, you know, like 44, like I am, bro, is unbelievable. Daniel,
they're 44, by the way.
Thank you.
You could pass for mid-30s.
Yeah, thank you, man. But there's a lot coming your way, bro. And that's why God's giving you the wisdom he's giving you also. But just talking to you, man, every time is impressive. But you're on the right track, man. You got the right mentality. I think you just got to build that culture within Bathtub Guys, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this place is awesome, bro. What you're doing is good. So just keep that up, man.
Likewise with you, man. I've seen, you know, a lot of your stuff, and you know, I'm gonna touch on this now that we're wrapping up. But one of the first people I saw doing social media in this industry was you. I talked to you about
that. You told me that the other day,
That we talked, and it's like, you know, I always saw what you were doing as like, wow, look, a guy's actually doing it, and you're getting reception. I mean, you had a lot of refinishers following you, a lot of people asking what you're doing and how you're doing it. But it was because at the time you were the only voice out there.
Yeah.
Like again, when another full circle moment, but when it comes to like caring about your business and actually trying, it's like, you know, A lot of it is influenced by stuff that you are doing, stuff that Danny Garcia is doing, the guy from California, and just seeing what other people in business in general are doing. But in this industry, you were one of the first ones I saw. And so I applaud you for, you know, being an early adopter into the social media stuff. You know, a lot of that stuff early on, what you're doing, like, you know, getting on camera and stuff, like, a lot of it is part of the reason why I do what I do. It was an inspiration because there was no one in the space doing it. And now, funny enough, I started doing it. And then Danny Garcia, who's older than both of us, he starts doing it and he has his podcast and he gets on the camera and talks and stuff more. And it's like a big chain of like, hey, man, this one thing kind of inspired all of us to keep on pushing, keep doing better, especially in an industry like the tub thing in particular. I think the bathtub refinishing industry needs more people like that.
Such an opportunity, bro. There's still so many people that don't even know that refinishing your bathtub is an option. Backsplashes, man.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, for these companies that are getting started, build a good sales team. If that sales team is you right now, it is what it is.
Yep.
But there's so much money being left on the table in all these homes, man. Soap dishes, countertops, backsplashes, man, it doesn't end, bro.
And I will say, man, giving customers options has been a golden ticket for us, man.
Right?
I don't know if you're familiar with Alex Hormozi.
Absolutely.
Have you read any of his books?
Yeah, yeah.
So the $100 million money model book.
Yeah, great.
Inspired me to do what I did with our package.
Got it. Okay. It makes sense, bro.
Dude.
Got it.
Offering a premium, middle tier, and a low tier. Mm-hmm. Dude, we sold like 7 times.
Nah, you're executing that perfectly, bro.
Yeah.
You really are, man.
I mean, the majority of what we sell is regular standard tubs at $650, and we're selling the premium tubs all, like, at least 15% of what we're selling is super premium.
Yep.
So it's like $850 because we're going to go and buff and polish it the next day. Mm-hmm. But you never are going to know if you have that type of client in front of you unless you present them with the option. And the thing about it, and he talks about this in the book, and I'll leave everyone with this, is that kind of what you said about the sales team, right? You will get so much more out of it if you have a good sales team. But with this structure, even if you have an okay sales team, you will just go up 30% of revenue. Why? Because the way you're packaging it, the way you're giving them the offer is primed for them to make a decision. And so it's almost like you're doing all the heavy lifting of the sale before they even ask.
Love it.
Because it's like when you go to a car wash. They have the deluxe, the regular, or like the minimal, you know, wash, like quick wash. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, usually that one's $5, this one's $6, and that one's $850. You're like, oh, well, I'm just going to go with the high-end one. That's kind of the same idea here.
It works.
We do it every day here.
So, oh, not only that, don't forget about the opportunity for products, which I know you're doing. The customer is going to ask you, you just refinished their bathtub.
Yep.
What do I maintain this with? What do I clean this with? All right, guys, and this is easy stuff. You could find a raw chemical company to make you a product.
Yep.
You could add any smell you want, any color you want. I really found this through the car wash guys, chemical guys, bro. All of that stuff, you could find companies that are already making chemicals for all these guys, and they'll label it and put your name on it. But you've got bath mats. You've got so much potential for products. And if you don't have your own product, use someone else's. Use scrubbing bubbles for now.
Yeah.
Keep a bunch of scrubbing bubbles in your van and upsell it for $2 to each customer. But there's so much potential. I hope we get to do this more, man.
Yeah, man.
And we'll figure out the AC situation. I'll be a little more comfortable.
Yeah. Next time I'll try to keep it minimal.
The
thing is, I was trying to avoid the opposite thing from happening to where it gets so hot that it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, got it.
Now it's so cold that it's
we'll figure it out.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming through, brother. I
appreciate you, man.
Thank you for the time.
No doubt.
We'll do it again soon.
Yeah.
And so thank you guys for watching. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.
That was great, bro.
You've been listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to keep up with the Bathtub Guys on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, or visit bathtubguys.com for more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.